Yeah.
Okay, so we ended up where he was saying that the pasuk in Yeshaya, right, of the Gorzevim Keves, he says that he explained it as a mashal, right? But I guess he means to say because he was saying that everything is natural. Everything is natural law. Right? Which they took to mean that there aren't going to be any changes which they took to mean that there's not going to be any Tchias Mesim. I assume that's what he means. That since he's saying that everything is natural, even by Tchias Mesim, even by Yemos HaMashiach, so there's not going to be Tchias Mesim. I assume that's what he means. So then he says that, and that's what he ends off with. He says, in the Mori explained why he says that pasuk is a mashal, because the Gemara says that there's no difference between now and Yemos HaMashiach. There's not going to be any difference in Seder Bereishis. Okay, now he says, he says you should know that these things that we say are a mashal. He says we're not saying this as a ruling. We're not saying this absolutely. We don't have a nevuah from Hashem that informed us that it's a mashal, and we didn't find a kabbalah from the chachamim, kabbalah to the chachamim from the neviim that explains in these things that they are a mashal. So he's saying, we're not saying absolutely, we're not saying vadai it's a mashal. He says, but why, so why do we say this? Why do we say it's a mashal? He says, I'll explain to you why we interpret it as a mashal. He says, the reason is because what we strive for, and what the and the hishta, and what the intelligent individuals strive for is the opposite of what the common man strives for. He says most of the multitudes of the of Torah Jews, to them what is beloved to them, and what is sweet to their minds, is what's pleasing to their minds is that they should make Torah and the intellect and what's intellectual two contradictory opposites. And right. I mean, what is haneav shabat devarim lohem? What is beloved in the words to them? Veha orev lesichlusam, and what is pleasing to their foolishness? Sheyasimu haTorah vaSeichel shnei kitzvos osa. That Torah and Seichel should be two opposites. Two contradictory opposites. V'yotziu kol davar nivdol u'mufrash min ha'muskol v'yomu shehu mofes. V'yivrichu mios davar al minak ha'teva. And this is what they're striving for. That everything should be taken and be separated from intelligence. And say it's just a wonder. It's a wonder. And to run away, to distance the idea, to run away from the idea of nature, that things are happening naturally, not in what not this is what they strive for, to turn everything into a miraculous event, and therefore everything in Torah is going to be mofes, he says. Not natural. He says that with regard to what happened in the past, right? They don't want to say there was nature with regard to what happened in the past, not to what's happening now, and not about what's happening in the future, going to happen in the future. He says, and we strive to join, to join together, to gather in, Bein HaTorah V'Muskel. Mekabetz Bein HaTorah V'Muskel. We try to bridge that gap. Try to bring them together. V'nanig HaDvarim Kulam Al Seder Tivi Efshar B'chol Zeh. And we try to explain that everything is working on a certain natural order. That's everything. I'll say the TV Efshar B'chol Zeh. It was not that everything, not to explain everything as an aberration, but to understand it in a possible natural way. Elamasha his boyer bo shehu mofes v'lo yitokin lefarshal klol oz nitztorich lomar shehu mofes. But if it's not possible to explain it as a natural thing, then we say it's a mofes. In other words, we're saying that what? That we're coming from opposite, we have opposite starting points, right? The Hamon's goal and our goal is opposite. And that's why they want to interpret all those things as miracles, and we try to interpret everything as a mashal. Unless it's not possible. But what are these goals? What are these goals? Why do we have these? Why is this our goal? Why is that their goal? And why is this our goal? It's just a matter of choice. Yeah. We have different desires. They have a desire to have Torah and intellect and intelligence as separate entities, right? The stories of the Torah should be a book of wonders. And not something that you can approach with intelligence or interpret with as intelligible things. And we, he says, strive for the opposite. And only when we're forced do we say this is a mofes. But what are these two? What are these two strivings? What's driving them? They're saying everything is true, of course. But in a wondrous way, right? No, it's because he's saying that they interpret the nevuah with the wild animals and the domesticated animals as living together literally, and he's saying it was a mashal. So they thought now everything to him is a mashal, you know. Now, right, now, so therefore they're going to say, I guess that's what it means, they're going to say now, oh, the Ram takes everything as a mashal. So then, I guess, all things by Tchias HaMesim, he also takes them as a mashal. That was that type of thing. So he's trying to explain, no, it's not that we take everything as a mashal, but we try to make everything we try to interpret Torah intellectually. And the things, we try to bring intelligence and Torah together, in line. So, therefore, if certain things are going to be out of, literally read, going to be unintelligible, so we have to say it doesn't mean that, to bring them together. Right? That's what interpreting as a mashal is accomplishing. It says, unless you can't, unless there's no way to interpret it as a mashal. Right? Then you just have to say it's a mofes. I mean, it's hard to say why they want to do that. It's hard to say what's driving them to do that. So let's say the other way. What's driving the Rambam to do what he's doing? That's true, that's true. I mean, and he's not denying that there are mofsim, right? Not denying that there are mofsim. No. Certain things says you do have to translate. You have to interpret it as just so you see there are things like that, so how do you, you're going to take that Nevuah, now let's take this example, he's saying you're going to take that Nevuah as a mashal. It's going to be a mashal for a certain type of natural order, the way that the effect that Yemos HaMashiach will have on the nations. right? As opposed to taking it as a literal thing, right? In other words, in terms of the literal, what's the impact? In terms of the literal, what is the impact? The impact is, like you were saying, the appeal is what? Is just the astounding quality, the astounding change from the norm in terms of the natural order, in terms of the world, right? It's a shocking image, right? To imagine the lion, the fierce lion, is going to be gentle and genteel, right? But there's no real benefit. There's no real limud from that, right? It's just like a shock value. It's just like a shock value. Like you're saying, it shows like the mastery of God over the world, right? Is what you're saying? Yeah, the power. But the Ram is saying that it's teaching you a certain idea. It's a limud about how the Das of Hashem will affect mankind. How that knowledge is going to affect mankind. So he's saying that if you're looking at the Sefer as a Sefer of value to man, and you believe in man as an intellectual being, then you should assume that the Sefer is containing what's beneficial for man, right? Divrei Nevi'im is for the benefit of man. Torah is for the benefit of man. And the greatness of it is, the greatness of it is going to lie in that element of man that's is going to lie in its ideas. So you're going to strive to. What does it mean that you're going to try? That he tries to bring those things closer together, right? Torah and Seichel, he says. Torah and Seichel, tries to bring them together. By Torah he means the Psukim, it would seem. Right? The Psukim.
Left to themselves, you wouldn't know...
Left to themselves, you can interpret them, plain shot. Right. But he's saying, we try to use the Psukim and derive ideas from it. Try to use the Psukim with an intellectual analysis and look for the concepts as so he says that's why we interpret things, that's why we interpret things as a marshal. Because that's really the beauty of the Torah. But to the Hamon, he's saying the beauty of it is the wondrous stories and the wondrous events. I mean, I think what you're saying is right. I mean, to a person who doesn't appreciate the ideas, so what is he going to get excited about? You know, what's captivating? What's the greatness of the Torah? If it's not the ideas. So then you have to take these things as you have to take these things literally as amazing events. Yeah, I don't remember where it is, but in the Mohr, the Ram also talks about, like he says, if you tell a person that about conception, how a baby is formed and develops. And then you tell them there's a fiery malach that enters the womb and makes the baby. So he says the Hamon is much more excited about the second way. You know, as opposed to really appreciating the beauty of the Chachma. They're more impressed and more impressed with these wondrous tales. But I think it has to do with the whole thing the Rambam is developing up till now, that the Hamon is not impressed with Chachma. Not impressed with Chachma. Chachma is not really a motivating force. It's not something they appreciate. Get astounded by the newness of something. That's impressive. That's impressive. It's like a Bucky is very impressive. Right? But if a guy says an idea, that's not as impressive. Something that has to, for most people, it's a tangible thing that they're looking for. A tangible proof. That's what they're looking for. They want to see the mo face is like a tangible thing. The idea is not. As Okay, but he says, but we try to find the true value in the Torah, which is to make it something that we can understand, to bring it down to intelligence, and that's the real benefit. So that's what we strive for. We strive to take the Torah and to understand it. So a mofes is not something to understand. It's just an event. It's just a wondrous event.
So it really doesn't like people who take all the chazal.
Right, right, right. It's like the Rambam mentions also with chazal, with the Agadita. You know, some people want to take it as literal things, and but it says we try to understand the idea. Okay, but it has to do also with an idea of what the obviously it all has to go back to what you think. It has to do with underlying whether you believe there's really a world of ideas. I mean, nobody's going to say the ones who take these things literally are obviously saying that they're written literally. No one is saying we're just going to take it the way we want it. It goes down to what you believe the essence of the book is. And that goes down to what you believe is the real reality. So it's a different view on reality, really, and that goes back to the original discussion of whether you believe in ideas. Okay, so he says like this: Ukvar bi'arnu b'mora nevuchem loshon ha'mikra mavora loshon ha'chomim gamkein bevo b'dvarim b'divrei ha'neviim misholim v'chidos rabos v'yiflagnu b'veir ze'ad she'i efshel echad min ha'scholim ha'misgabrim la'chisho. So he says, and we prove that this is the nature of Torah, because there are many divrei chazal and the language of psukim that prove clearly, he says, that these things are that neviim write in mishalom and chidos. That's the nature. That is. He says it's not just something we want to believe this. We take it, we try to make Torah and Seichel together because we like that. Saying that, says he showed in the Mor, that really is the way the Torah is written, the way the Nevi'im are written. U'mnezen nomar nachnu, u'misher kidomonu, me'chashuvei ha'mefarshim, she'elu mashalom, k'moshim p'rashnu. So that's why we say these things are mashalom. Be'efshar she'yomein gamkein, kishiyir bar ha'yishu v'tishman ha'aretz, yimat hezek bali chayim, v'yiskarvu k'tosim ha'k'tosim. So he says it's also possible to say that it is talking about some. It is possible to say it al derech teva, that it's true al derech teva, that when animals, when the civilization encroaches on the animals become less violent. Okay. So those are just possibilities. Interesting, Ram. Either it's a mashal, like in the Mora, about the nations, or he's saying it's an exaggeration. It's an exaggeration of a natural phenomenon that Aristotle documented. That the animals in Egypt were more tame. V'im hu al pshuto yeh mofes sheyeroa bahar bayis levad. But if you want to say it is pshuto, it's literally true, then it would be isolated to Har HaBayis itself. Kemo she'omar b'chol har kodshi b'yeh kiyozi b'dvarim lo hizik nochash v'akrav Yerushalayim, meaning that it would be an expression of a nes on Har HaBayis. It would be an expression of Hashara Shechina. That, but again, he's trying to tie it to an idea every time. Sof dover kol elohim dvarim she'enom pinos ha-Torah v'en lahakbid eich ya'amidu behem v'tzorach she'yamten odom le'ikar for amun ab'elo dvarim ad asher ye'ro b'meherav oz yisbor imhem moshlo mokis. Which is, the bottom line is, nobody really, we these things are not ikarim in the Torah. It's not an ikar in the Torah whether you believe that the lions will be docile or violent, Yimos Mashiach, and we don't really, we're not going to be makbid about how you take it. You have to believe the ikar is important, the ikar of the Nevuah is important, the whole Nevuah is about Yimos Mashiach is the main thing. And then we'll see if it was a Mofis or a Moshel when the time comes. Kvar noda she'anachnu nivrach ma'od mishinoi seder breishis. V'omnom yitte kol mi sheyitte mi shekodem o yisachar liosom bilti mavdilim bein anyanim anogim minag ha'mofes. Yeah. So he says, you already know that we avoid the changing of the laws of nature. We try to avoid the interpreting things as changes of the laws of nature. He says, but if somebody makes a mistake and doesn't make a differentiation between things that are nogim minaga mofes, things that are miraculous, v'hem asher lo yamdu klov lo yiskaimu, that the miraculous things, and what's the mofes? The mofes is something that doesn't have permanence. It's a temporary phenomenon. V'omnam yuha mipnei hatzorach ula'ameis ha'nevuah. So a mofes is just a temporary thing that's for a specific need or to prove nevuah. So if a person doesn't distinguish between those things, ubeinah in yonim hativim and nemshachim tamid, shem minhago sholam asher yivor zol zichron avrochah tamid v'yomro. So Chazal already explained, olam ki minhago holech, v'omer ein nevi'in raya maisei nisim. So we're saying also that Chazal say clearly that there's teva, and the world works according to natural law. And the mofes is a temporary thing, only for a tzarech. It's interesting how he brings a raya from that gemara. Ein mevi'in raya mimaisa nisim. That gemara is in reference to tefillah, right? By right hand gemara over there in brachos. If you mispalel. About the pregnant woman that she should have a boy. So says the tefillah shav because it can't be changed. The Gemara says Abedina was mispalel and it changed. So says they can't bring a raya from Maisa Nisim. So, but that's tefillah. I mean, that's right. His mashmi can't be mispelled for a nace over there. His mashmi can't be mispelled for a nace like that. Alright, that's separate. Amy G and Rai Mimaisinism. Okay. But he's saying that what's the point over here? Again, that you look for teva.
Right. Away from it.
Right. I mean, this also goes back to, that's why he's bringing in nature in general, because it goes back to the same thing. I mean, in terms of chachma, you want to show in the olam, you want to show in nature that there's a tremendous chokhmas Hashem in the Bria. Right? That's the person who sees chokhmah. So he knows that God is the source of chokhmah, and that should exist, that exists in nature. There's a certain chokhmah in the Bria. Certain appreciation for the chokhmah and the Bria, like Ram was saying with the infant. Certain chokhmah in the Bria. But people who aren't interested in the chokhmah are just interested in wonders. They're interested in wondrous things. So they look the opposite. They want to see miracles everywhere. They want, because they're not appreciating, they're not able to appreciate chachma. Okay, now he's like this: V'yerli shasher heviu elu anoshim litos ulasapi b'devenu b'tchias amesim heyosenu marichim b'sipar olam abo umevorim ha'itosov v'zochim kol divrei anavim achom ha'morim alav kishezocharnu tchias amesim zocharnu ha'b'devorim ma'atim v'amarnu shetichias amesim pina amitis. So he says, what made, he's still working on this, why people made this mistake about the Rambam's position in Tzchias HaMesim. So he thinks now, what made them make the mistake? And his problem was that when he discussed Olam Haba, he spent a lot of time discussing Olam Haba. Right? I mean, most of it is really discussing Olam Haba. Because he starts out, even before the Yesodos, he starts out with the whole Olam Haba. That's how the whole thing starts out. Right? And then when he gets to Tchias HaMesim, he just says Tchias HaMesim is a pina amitis, right? So they thought that he really is making Olam Haba as the real thing, and Tchias HaMesim he's relegating to like a second class status. I don't know how that would make them think that it should be a marshal, but. So he's like this. V'hamevi al zeh shnei dvarim. He says, why did he do this? Why did he spend so much time on Olam Haba and so little time on Tchias HaMesim? Ha'echad me'em shekol chiburenu omnam hem kav v'naki. Everything that we write is very refined. V'ein kavanosenu lahagdil guf hasvarim. We have no intent just to grow the body of books. Okay? V'lo l'chalos hazman b'masha lo yovi al toalas. Not to waste time with things that don't have a benefit. We only explain things that need to be explained. And only in the amount that will make it understandable. We only write short, tersely. That's one reason. So one reason why he had so much in so little in Tchias HaMesim, so much in Olam Haba is because his method is not to write unless there needs to be explanation. Okay? But the second reason is that Ha'arocha omnam tiye b'tzir inyun ne'elam ad sheyushlam tziro. So the only reason to write a lot is to be able to describe something that's abstract, to draw it out, to portray something that is hidden or abstract. Okay. Oh, behavi raya alemitaso. The only two reasons he says to be lengthy, either because the subject is very difficult to perceive, so you have to spend a lot of time showing it, defining it, explaining what it is, okay? Or you have to prove that the thing is true, okay? Those are the two reasons why you need a lot of writing. V'zetzarech elav b'shloshes minei hachochma. Ritzoni lomar halimudi v'ativi v'aloki. Ki harbe says you need this type. You need to be lengthy in these three fields. What's the limudi?
Not like a preparatory.
Yeah. And the tivi is natural, and Loki is metaphysics. Ki harbe pa'omim ye olem bohen inyan v'yirchak tiuro o shi yefarshu gedorav perish So a lot of times, what you're discussing is very is hidden and distant, right? Until you explain it satisfactorily. And then sometimes the thing itself needs a lot of rayos to prove that it's true. Omnom dvara mofsim lo ye olim tsiur mashi zochemehem velo yichvad v'yef shalavi rayal amitas mashikvar bo o shiyuad al bo shiyuad bo mehem. So he says, but something that's just a phenomenon, a mofes, says there's nothing difficult to describe. There's no difficulty in describing what it is. Right, and there's no sense, there's no raya that you can bring to it, because it's something that he says amitas al mashikvar. He says aval yeiro b'chushim or yikubu mishikvar ram. So either they accept it with their senses, or either they see it with their senses, or they accept it from someone who already saw it. That's why he spent so much time on Olam Haba, because he had to explain it. It's a difficult concept. What it is a difficult concept, and also to show that it's natural, that requires a lot of proofs to show that Hashoras and Nefesh is something b'teva. Everybody knows what it is. There's no reason to explain it. All you need to do is now believe it. So there's nothing to spend time on. It's not something that you can prove. You can't prove it like Olam Haba. Olam Haba is saying it's a natural phenomenon, and now you can bring logical proofs and philosophical proofs to its existence. But this is not like that. Ein royal of mitzada ian. There's no intellectual proof of the thing. V'omnam yinag minag anaflos kulon. It's completely miraculous. V'yikubal. You have to accept it. Ein sham zulazeh. The only thing is to accept the Kabbalah. What could we have said? Somebody want me to bring. What do they expect me to write other than say Tchias Mesim is a nicker? Want me to bring rayas to it? Ubelis Sofik Shem Vukash Mimenu Eitzel Eluan Elusha Nidrosh Vichibreno Adrushos Yer Bobza. So he says also he's not going to just bring a lot of drushos that everybody knows. He's not going to just write all the drushos. Yeah. He says he tries to write as little as he could. If something can be written in one parak, he won't write it in two parakim. Why would you want for me to just write all the drushas in the Agadatos? Matoelis lekoflam velomash anachnu chibarnu. What's the benefit to repeat all of these things so I can say we wrote it? No benefit. Okay. So now it's like this. Now I'll just summarize the next two things. It says, but now that we've gotten this far, and there really wasn't much of a benefit in everything I just wrote. Okay? Now he feels it's important to add something new. Something that is beneficial. So he's going to try to explain two questions. Okay? We'll just summarize the questions quickly here. He says, the first question is that there are a lot of psukim that seem to indicate that there is no Tchias HaMesim. That the plain pshat of the psukim is that there is no Tchias HaMesim. Like it says in Eov. Im yomos gever hayichya. If a person dies, will he live? It's funny how he takes psukim from Eov and in the middle of his this is early on in his debate over there. Okay. Or he says, Kol lo onan v'yelech kein yorish she'ol lo yala. So the cloud disappears. So too, someone who goes to the Sheol will never come up. Right? B'terem Eilech V'lo Ashav. He says, a lot of this is an Eov. Yeah. So he says, that's one problem. That's one problem. That, Kishetichapes ksuve amikra kulam timtsoe marchikim triasamesim bichlal. So if you look through the psukim in Tanakh, you'll see not only are they not saying Tchias HaMesim, they seem to be denying Tchias HaMesim. Okay. Rak Tzas Pshuta Yeshaya. You only have a few Pshuta Yeshayahu. Vimiz Bonus Yisbar Shehu Mesupak Imu Moshel Oemes. And even though it's not really clear if it's true, if it's Moshel or not. And then you have that one pasuk in Daniel, right? This definitely caused the big confusion. Okay, that's one question. Why the psukim like that? So then the second question is that why does the Torah not mention Tchias HaMesim at all? It doesn't hint at it, and it certainly doesn't say it clearly. Yeah. Yeah. That's the second question. Lama lo zochar ze bigolai ubevera. Now, as he says you have a lot of Chazal. Minayin l'tchias HaMesim min haTorah. Chazal looking all over the place. Right, tachlis haomer sheyomer sheheim remozim mistarim. It's hidden remozim, and they're machlokas in what they are. Right, so that's the second question. Lomo lo zochar ze begolay ubeveir shelo yispol perish. Why didn't the Torah just come clearly and say it in a way that cannot be misunderstood? Ovo nizkar lefi dvar achoshev kimisha yistater lemor dover sheyirtz l'sasma. But it's mentioned like a like someone who's hiding something he doesn't want to and he wants to hide it. Okay, isn't that sound like the same mushroom? She yistater lemor dovar the yirtzel l'sasmo. He's hiding the thing. Why is it say it like that? Why is it in such a hidden way? Why isn't it just coming out? Why doesn't Noah just say it? So those are just two questions. Why do the psukim seem to contradict Tchias HaMesim? And why is it not expressed clearly in the Torah? Alright? That's what he wants to add.